Everybody except Tim. This is like herding cats.
A barrel of eels.
Romans 6. Look out for what's behind you, Harry.
Well, I just want to deflect it. I don't want it.
Everything. Well, I won't say that. Romans 5, Romans 6. Verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Simple. Simple statement. But it's probably the most misunderstood, most ignored scripture in the Bible. The first thing you have to identify, who is the old man? And what is the nature of the old man? And the second thing is, who is the new? Who is the resurrection, and what is the nature of the resurrection? A long time ago, I don't know if I made it up or heard it somewhere, but probably heard it somewhere. There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. So which nature do you feed? It's the one that you give breath to. That's all that the word love as a verb in the New Testament means. Love is, we've talked about this many times, but love, agape as a noun, was coined by the biblical writers to express this mystery of love without self-consciousness, the divine love. But love as a verb was a common, ordinary word in the Greek language. And it was agapeo. And it simply meant what you gave breath to at any given moment, what you gave importance to. And so what you give importance to is what you feed. And it never stops. It never goes away. You can say till hell freezes over that I am crucified with Christ, but if in your mind you constantly give breath to you and what you're doing and how you feel and what you're going to do tomorrow, then you're giving life to that which was killed by the deadly head wound by Jesus Christ. And that's as simple as that. Your emotions and your thoughts, they all have I motive. And the moment you give breath to the I motive, then you're feeding the nature that is cursed, that was destroyed, that was killed, but you're raising it from the dead from its deadly head wound. That never stops. But hopefully, someday you will understand that you stop feeding that old cursed nature. So that that life which is eternal, which is resurrected in you, which is perfect, which is complete, which owns all things, which believes all things, which then you're free. Does anybody hear me? So that's why I constantly tell you, stop giving reference to yourself. Oh, this is what I think, and this is what I... Every time you take a stand about something, you're giving breath to the old man. And the old man is the evil one, the instead of Christ. So it's simply a matter of neglecting the old man. And that which you neglect, you stop feeding. You stop feeding it because you've got to come to this place where you owe your mind and your emotions nothing. Because you're now a new creation that lives solely in that moment-by-moment dependence on the Father. And you're carried, you're born in His arms. Oh no, not me. I've got things to do and my thoughts are sweet. No, they're not. They're crap. Does anybody really believe this? I've taught it for 35 years. The same thing. You go back and listen to the tapes that Harry made. It's the same thing. It's a simple, simple, simple message. What?
It's like keeping the old man on life support. He's in a coma, vegetative state, and he got these little life tubes.
Well, you're keeping him more on life, more than on life support. You're feeding him a feast every day. You don't think. If something happens you don't like it and you have a negative reaction to it, you automatically, what that is, the Holy Spirit is telling you there's an idol within you that you resurrected. So what you do, Father, forgive me. Leave me behind again. I don't care if you say, Father, forgive me 100,000 times a day, but the minute that you become the subject of your sentence, you're feeding this beast that the dragon is giving life to. And that's, if you don't understand this, you'll never understand the book of Revelation. You'll come up with more comic book theology. You'll have snakes talking and helicopters flying. And listen again. For if, and the word if there is the Greek word eis, E-I-S, and it means in view of the fact. In view of the fact that we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And the word likeness there means exactly the same. It's what the word you would describe of Siamese twins joined, not just at some place on their body, but joined completely. You're in the likeness of His resurrection. And that's the resurrection is the only time hope is ever used in the Scriptures. So all this sentimental crap about, oh, I hope this and oh, I wish that, it's just crap. It's giving life to the old man. Oh, but I'm really struggling. I'm really trying. I'm sincere. Did I ever tell you what sincere is? I want to tell you once more, just for the record.
It is on the record.
Sincerity means that you're being righteous about something. And the Scripture says your righteousness is as a filthy rag. And literally what that is in the Bible, it says your righteousness is as a menstrual rag. I didn't make it up. That's what the Scriptures say. That's what your little sincerity trips are all about.
Anybody want any more coffee?
Did I offend anyone?
Carter, any thoughts?
No.
What?
I'm good.
All good.
I got it.
Gary? You got any more stands you want to take? Any more sincerity? Any more sweet thoughts?
Can't come up with any records. Check with me later.
There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed, one is blessed. One I love, one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. Stop feeding that idiot that you call you. go to Romans 7, just a couple pages. Verse 9. For I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And what is the purpose of the commandments? If you read Romans 3, it says the purpose of the law is to shut, is to, so that all, the law is something you cannot do. And stop acting like you're doing little pieces of it. You cannot do it. You're hardwired because of the curse, so you cannot fulfill the law. So what do? You take little pieces of it. And you get really upset about, you rank laws. And so you say, homosexuality is bad. But in the same verse it says that, so is fear. There's no ranking of sin. Sin is a person, the evil one. So here's the process that you go through. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And I'm going to kind of targum this. For what I want to do, I don't do. For what I want to do, that I do not. But that which I hate, that's what I do. Now, if you haven't reached this point yet, then you're way back, and you need to go back to remedial Christianity. If then I do that which is I don't want to do, I am consenting to the law that it is good. And that's a big step. That was huge for me personally, because when I became, before I was a believer, my only law was rules are for when brains run out. And then brains ran out and everything ran out, and there I was naked. But then I started doing things that I didn't want to do, and then I knew I was consenting that the law was good. But I'm carnal, sold under sin. If then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Sin isn't an act, it's a person. It's called the instead of Christ. It's called the evil one. It's called the old man. It's not a moral issue. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now, what you have to see here is that the reason we have addicts in the world is so we can see how totally and completely we are addicted to self. In the scriptures, it's called the wine of Ephraim. Total self-seeking. And you must be in the same position that an addict is. That because of the fear of God, even one thought is to you as if you were a heroin addict, and one more hit, one more little shot, you would then die. And without the fear of God in this, you're just blissfully ignorant. You're just only by the grace of God you continue to have the appearance of life. What? Verse 20, if I do that I don't want to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Now listen carefully to all you do-gooders. Listen carefully. I find then a law that when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. Why? Because in the wanting to do good, you've resurrected him. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. Now this, listen carefully to this next verse, the next two verses. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now until you see, this is a specific reference to a type of punishment in the Roman Empire. For the extreme cases, they would take and tie you face to face, rope, chain you face to face to a dead body. And as that dead body was rotting and the maggots were crawling, they would crawl into your nostrils and into your eyes. And you would die the slowest, most agonizing, most horrible death that you could imagine. Now, until you know that your I motive is the evidence that you're chained to that body of sin and death, you'll never hear anything else. You'll just take the Bible as another little philosophy that you can add on to your life.
Yeah, you'll never say that last sentence, which is...
No, the last sentence...
Who will deliver me? How do you get...
Right, listen to this. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now listen carefully to how he answers it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You got it?
No.
No? That doesn't fit there.
No.
What don't you get?
Explain it. Because in that last sentence it says, so then with the mind I myself serve.
He's talking about the mind of Christ, the mind that's totally emptied at every second. Not your mind run rampant, not the Kaala mind.
Okay.
It's the mind of Christ, the mind that thought of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation, which means totally emptied at every second.
Yeah, who else can serve the law of God?
Now, the whole point of this is that you must know that Christ did fulfill the law. He fulfilled every jot and tittle. But it doesn't do you any good. Because you're still serving the law of sin and death. Unless there is a replacement. And that's what it means to be born again. It doesn't matter how much Christianity you put on your flesh. You know what you do in the midnight hour. You know what you do when you're challenged. That's probably enough.
You know, there's something here about the way that verse 25 is said. There's another place where it talks about how you've been delivered unto another gospel that is not another gospel. It's like here, there's not another mind. There's not two minds. It's the mind of Christ or the flesh. That thing that you think is a mind is flesh. There's nothing good. It's just flesh or the mind of Christ.
Amen.
It also doesn't say that I thank God through Jesus Christ, and now with my mind and my flesh,
right.
I'm serving God.
No,
that's not the way it works. That's the way I'd like it to work, but that's not the way it works.
Go to I'm sorry. No, go to Galatians 5.
Where?
Galatians 5.
I'm sorry you were...
I'm sorry.
I think that's because I wasn't understanding.
Galatians 5. Just, you find it?
Yeah.
Hey. We got a Bible scholar.
Yay! Paige Carter, Paige.
Holy Gold Star Saint.
Oh, 12:13.
Paul
does
the honor to keep us sinners.
All right. A couple places.
That's another reference to what you're talking about.
Okay. The only chief of sinners there is the Antichrist.
It's us.
It's you. Your number is 666. You are the Antichrist. I am the Antichrist. Even though all of the televangelists call me the Antichrist anyway, but I agree with them. Verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, to walk in the Spirit doesn't mean you run around talking in tongues all day. It means that you walk in that moment of dependence, never giving your own senses or anyone else's advice anything. You're walking in total dependence on God because you've totally emptied. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." The flesh is trying to suppress down the Spirit. The Spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh. And this is, the next verse is great. "So that you cannot do the things that you would." And that's the best news ever.
"Made subject to vanity, not willing."
"But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, because Christ fulfilled the law." Said, "He is your only life." You are saved by his death, but you live by his life. You're redeemed by his death, but you live or saved by his life, I should say. Is this too difficult? Isn't this kind of simple? Doesn't have anything to do with how smart you are or how many degrees you have or how many...
The moment you disengage trying to make this pertain to you, it's all simple and clear and beautiful. But if you're trying to incorporate it into your own trips and person, it's all confusing. It doesn't fit.
Anybody have any other response? Julie?
Hmm? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jill. You.
Something about this is not simple, and I don't feel I understand Romans as well as Paul did, and I don't think anybody in here does. And so it makes me wish that we had a touch typing class instead, so that it would just be real simple. If we got it, we could type.
There you have it.
Something it's obvious you're not getting it when you're point by point bothers me.
Can we talk?
If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in the face of Christ should shine unto them. The only thing you have to do is not try to get it with your mind. You have to say, "Father, forgive me," and empty yourself. And be apprehended by him instead of trying to apprehend it. If your mind was necessary to see this, then what about all of the people who, you know, this one and one is two is difficult?
Yeah, that doesn't really carry over to like the typing class because.
No, typing is.
What would Jesus type?
Waiting for that.
It's only apprehended when you agree with the emptiness and futility of life, of your life in particular, and stop wishing you were better or different or something else.
And I think then the mystery is revealed.
Hmm?
The mysteries slowly reveal themselves to whoever and whatever.
Well, I know Wade. He's been here forever. He understands it a lot better than he does. But the minute he tries to think about it and say, "Well, I'm going to do it this way," and what it is, the minute you try to lose it, or use it, you lose it. Because then that blindness, that wall of blindness jumps up the minute you try to use it for something. Or the minute you try to sell somebody on it. Boom. Or talk somebody into it.
The minute you would do good.
What?
Good. The minute you would do good. In this case, the good is...
Understanding it.
Understanding it. Being able to remember it and say it and use it and deal with it.
I didn't ask you for a question. What's your response?
I'm mystified.
Good. Wendy? You're leaving us, so you might as well give us a summary. That's Philippians 3. Read Philippians 3. Yeah, the minute you try to apprehend it, then you're giving life to the evil one again. You can go to catechism class till hell freezes over.
Can I ask you a question about prayer?
No.
Okay. I'll ask you later.
No. I hate it when somebody says, can somebody ask me a question? Of course you can. For others.
Back to the eye. Oh, for others or in things, but not for yourself.
You do nothing to protect yourself.
Yes, because that takes you into that.
I usually get Joe Santa to pray for me.
When you pray for her. Right.
I try to manipulate other people
into prayer. We noticed. No, we're all a bunch of losers. You got to face it. We can't ever get it right, so you might as well just live in freedom. Love God and have fun. Everything else will take care of itself.
We read that last part about, I do what I don't want to do. It just dawned on me. I think you're going to hate this, but...
Yes!
I think this stupid Wile E. Coyote is like a perfect parable of the flesh. It's the perfect parable of my mind. Always going out to Ajax and getting some new contraption that I'm going to use to catch the damn roadrunner. And it never works, you know. And I'm always out there in air looking, oh no, and then bam.
You got to hear this. You got to hear this part of Harry's theology. Harry has.
Why it's so popular.
Harry's theology is two things. It's waiting for the other shoe to drop, always. And the second one is, the large print giveth, the small print taketh away. If you want to sari up Harry.
And the third one is, everything in this damn desert is trying to hurt me.
That's right.
His epitaph is,
I told you I was sick. Riz, do you have any thoughts before you leave us? I'm never coming back here again.
Out of your fucking mind.
Yay!
Tim?
I was thinking about getting this useless flesh on an airplane so I can go back and not do anything.
Now listen, everybody, since I first started talking, teaching this, everybody says that in one way or another. Only if I did what you say, I would go sit in a corner and die. Well, that's proof that you have a form of godliness but deny his efficacy. The power of God is always manifest. But just don't confuse you with the power of God.
It's sometimes described as the Jersey boy.
It's a New Jersey life. It's life in New Jersey.
There are important things I must do.
Yeah, yeah. And if anything you think you're doing is important and more important than anything else, you know you've been deceived.
We have a deadline for this project that we're working on.
So it was invented.
I have to go back and get the animation department to put Harry's head on Wile
E. Coyote. Good
plan.
No, vice versa, put the coyote's head on me.
Yeah.
Harry is Ace, not Ajax.
He uses both.
Oh, he uses both.
And Acme.
Acme. Oh, Acme. I also remember Acme.
All righty. Take it, big guy.
So, it's just going to be
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.